Here's the 1-2. Swing and a miss, strike three. Inning over, Tyone gets the strikeout, his fourth of the day.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Cubs beat the Marlins yesterday 8-3. Jameson Tyone with the strikeout right there. He's back. Pat Hughes with the call right here on 670 The Score, where today Cubs continue their series against the Marlins with a doubleheader at Wrigley Field. Game 1 pregame coverage begins at 12:45. Game 2 pregame begins at 6:05. You can listen to every game right here on The Score and in Chicagoland on the free Odyssey app. I am Mark Crotty. Welcome back in here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. All that said, why don't we go to Wrigley Field? Let's go to a Cubs game. Cubs and Marlins getting ready to go at Wrigley, and we bring in Andy Martinez from the Marquee Sports Network. What's going on, Andy? Thanks for being on, man.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me. How's it going?
I'm doing well, man, and I'm glad that Tyler Farengol played that Jameson Tyone strikeout right there, because he returned, goes five innings, allowed one run, three hits, struck out four, did not walk anybody. They let him go 73 pitches, did give up a home run to Brian De La Cruz last night, but had to be heartening, I guess, from the Cubs' perspective in that performance. What did you think of it, Andy?
I thought it was a really gutsy performance, just given everything that was going on with Tyone. First start of the year, you kind of figured he would be on some sort of a pitch count. Seemed to be around 75 pitches since it was the 73 after five innings. But it's really what the Cubs pitching staff has been lacking this season. Going into yesterday, they were third fewest innings pitched from starting pitchers. So really just to get some depth out of a starter who, you know, I think if you would have even said four innings before the game, you probably would have taken it. But he looked really, really good and efficient in those five innings. And I think if this was maybe start six or seven of the season for him, maybe he goes into the sixth, seventh inning and really saves the bullpen. But overall, it's what this Cubs pitching staff needed, just given the short outings they've been getting from their starting pitchers. And with a doubleheader today, you knew pitching was going to be at a premium. So to get five innings from Tyone, I think, was just massive on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's been, you know, Craig Counsell has had to visit the mound way too many times this year and grab the baseball. But, I mean, it's what we expected when you start the season with two of your top starters not in there. I think that Craig Counsell, from what I have seen, not being around the team every day like you are, from what I've seen, it seems like Counsell has done a pretty good job navigating, and I don't know if every single manager would be 12-7 at this point.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Jed Hoyer mentioned it a little earlier in the season. When Justin Steele went down game one, I mean, if you think about it, your opening day starter was a Cy Young vote getter last year. You were expecting a lot of big things from Steele going into the season. He goes down game one, six innings into the game, whatever it was. You immediately think, like, should we be panicking? Like, what's going to happen? And after the game, what Jed Hoyer said was that Craig Counsell was very much, all right, who's next? Who are we going to? What's going to happen? And they went to Ben Brown, and he's looked pretty solid. Like, he never seems to get too high on any big wins or too low on any low moments. I mean, if you think about it, the road trip they were just on, they blew the 8-run lead to San Diego, and they had a tough loss in extra innings to the Diamondbacks too. And the next day, each time they come back and win. And yesterday, Jed Hoyer spoke to us, and he had an interesting anecdote too. Usually the last game of the West Coast road trip is usually the hardest for a team, because it's like, you see the finish line, you're going back home, you're yes, excited for it. And sometimes you get those really, really short games where, you know, a lot of guys are grounding out and they're quick at-bats and it's a quick game. And then before you know it, you're down 4-0. Cubs went out and won that game to finish the West Coast road trip on a winning record. I think it's just a testament to who Counsell is as a manager and to what he provides to this team.
Wasn't that the game, too, where was that the one where they held the one-run lead for three innings, and then Alzolay picks the guy off at first to end the game? Was that one?
That was the Mariners game, the previous series. But, yeah, that was also
that was a previous
win,
series.
Right? Yeah. In Seattle. Yep.
Okay, so that was the end of it. But, yeah, that, I mean, because Counsell talked about, I heard him saying that some of that same stuff about how, look, we probably got lucky on a couple games in the road trip too. Like, and that's just the way baseball is. So he's certainly got that measured approach. Another thing I like too, one of the Cubs' early habits, a good one, is taking teams like the Marlins and just smashing them. They did the same thing earlier when they swept Colorado. And they've had a pretty good example of good and bad teams this year. But I always think the sign of a good team is the ones that don't stumble against the bad teams. And there's a nice early little track record of that so far for the Cubs.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm not comparing the two sports identically, but I was reading up on the Bulls earlier this morning, and right, they had a winning record against bad teams and then a losing record against winning teams. And you see what the result is. The Cubs are playing the good teams pretty well, right? They took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers. They took 2 out of 3 from Arizona, who's a good team. I think Seattle's a really underrated team, a really good pitching staff. They took 2 out of 3 from them. And they probably should have taken the 2 out of 3 from San Diego, where they lost that first game where they blew that 8-run lead. They're a pretty good team, and to your point, yeah, the Rockies came into town, and there was no mercy, right? They built up a lead, and they added on, and yesterday, same thing. They scored in the first 3 innings. They made sure to not give the Marlins a chance to come back, and it also, it's the sign of a good team, right? Like, you want them to, you don't want to build up a 2-run lead and say, all right, 2-run lead, we'll turn it over to a bullpen, because if you do that every single day in April, by June and July, your bullpen is taxed. Your team is really, really taxed. And so to be able to build up these leads where you can give a guy like a Keegan Thompson a little runway in the bullpen to cover multiple innings, or Colton Brewer, who pitched 2 innings yesterday, that saves your bullpen. That saves Edward Alzolay. That saves Mark Leiter Jr. That saves Hector Neris, so that there may be a little bit fresher down the stretch run, because that was also something that happened at the end of last season where we saw Merriweather, Leiter, and Alzolay, who were key figures. You know, they were kind of running on fumes at the end of the season, to the point where Merriweather was the only healthy one at the end of the season.
Yep, and he is out right now. So, I mean, I guess rest him early. Hopefully you don't need him as much as you did last year. You did say the name Edward Alzolay, and it always feels like you get a closer on any team who starts blowing saves, and then everybody sort of stalks him, and there's this big cloud surrounding Alzolay right now, and will he last as the closer? What do you think about the closer situation for the Cubs and Albert Alzolay?
Yeah, it's perfect timing. Council was asked about that this morning in his pregame availability, and he really, really downplayed it. And it was interesting. I mean, this is a guy who had Josh Hader and Devin Williams in Milwaukee. The ninth inning was never a concern for Craig Council in Milwaukee. And in his first 20 games or so with the Cubs, He's run into some problems with Edward Alzolay. It was really interesting what he said was he's had a lot of one-run leads. A one-run save opportunity is way more intense than a 2 or 3-run save opportunity. And for him, for Alzolay right now, what Council said is he's just pitches that should be chase pitches, right, where it's whether it's a slider or four-seam up. He's missing them in the zone, and he's getting hit for home runs. And I think those are mistakes that are you can correct, right? It's not a – the velo's down or the slider's not breaking. The movement and the pitch shapes of everything is still there, that it gives them confidence that it is just maybe a blip early on. And it's interesting because if this happened in June, right, where he had 3-4 blown saves in the month of June, you wouldn't maybe put as much attention as it is in the beginning of the season where, I mean, everything's heightened, right? Nico Horner, everyone was freaking out because he was hitting 100 and all of a sudden he's fine. And Tae Suzuki was hitting everything really, really well, and now he's on the injured. Everything gets heightened in April, rightfully so, because there's the excitement of baseball. But mm-hmm. I think there's you got to give it some more leeway and a little bit more of a sample size when it comes to this early on in the season.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that's what Jed Hoyer is doing. I think he's doing, while we're talking about leeway, he's probably doing the same thing with Kyle Hendricks. And I listened to Jed Hoyer, to what he said to you guys, and in regards to Kyle Hendricks. It does sound like he's concerned, though. I mean, I know he's taking the approach of it's Kyle Hendricks, and I think we all have that in us a little bit. It's Kyle freaking Hendricks. But I don't know. He sounded a little bit, to me, I maybe I'm reading too deeply into it. He sounded worried about Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah, and Jed Hoyer kind of said it perfectly right. I think Kyle knows it, too. Everyone knows that it's just not been good enough. And they're hopeful that it could turn around. And Tony Andracki actually, for us, interesting story today on MarqueeSportsNetwork.com about the conundrum they're really in, right? Where you're right, this is a World Series hero. This is a guy who is forever in Cubs lore, right? He pitched game seven. He started game one of the 2017 playoffs.
Yeah.
He got Cy Young votes. Like, right, he's done it all. And he is hitting the worst part of his career right now where the team honestly needs him the most. Just because, like, we mentioned the pitching injuries and the amount of rookies that are in the rotation. So for his struggles are definitely heightened. It's interesting because he's always struggled in April. Like, his numbers in April, March and April, are always worse than May 1st on. So I think that there's a little bit of, like, well, let's see if getting him more reps under his belt, maybe that helps him. There's also his velo isn't down. The movement is still okay. He's just missing a lot, and he's missing over the middle of the plate, which is allowing hard contact. Like, I'm curious to see what it's like tomorrow against he's faced some pretty good lineups in Texas and LA and then Arizona. Like, I'm curious to see what it's going to be like against the Miami Marlins, where maybe this is like the perfect get right opportunity for Kyle Hendricks, because the Cubs certainly need it.
Absolutely. If there ever was a get right opportunity, it is against these 4-16 Marlins. He'll pitch tomorrow. Cubs doubleheader today. Cubs Marlins, people driving out to the ballpark right now, they are going to see Javier Assad and Shota Imanaga. Both of these guys have been terrific stories. Let's talk about Assad first. I mean, the only thing that my little trend thing that I've noticed with him is that in back-to-back outings now, he has given up a two-run homer in the sixth inning. I don't know if that's in Craig Counsell's head now, but what have you thought about Assad, and what do you think they're gonna get out of him today?
I mean, I think they're expecting him to go deep into this game, especially with the doubleheader, especially with where their pitching's been. But you're right; the last couple of outings, he's given up a home run late, and April is like such a weird time for starting pitcher, because you kind of have to push these starting pitchers, right? Like, you can't be going to your bullpen in the fifth inning, in the fourth inning every single day. Cause again, to what we were talking about earlier, at that point, your bullpen's taxed come June or July. So like, you have to, like, do fans maybe hate seeing Javier Assad coming out for an extra inning? If you looked a little gassed his last batter that when he came in the previous inning, like, for sure. But this is the time where you have to push them a little bit. If this was September in those two previous outings, maybe Craig Counsell takes him out before he gives up those home runs, and it's a different story, right? But this is the time where they have to push him. But Javier Assad, I think, with Mark Leiter Jr. and Shota Imanaga, have been the three best pitchers for the Chicago Cubs this season. Javier Assad was a guy who I penciled in at the beginning of spring training, middle of spring training. Like, he's their swing man out of the bullpen. Like, he was really good in that role. He'll do that again. And with the injuries, he was pressed into the rotation, and he's taken this opportunity and run with it. Like, behind Shota Imanaga, he's clearly been their second best starter. He's been such a reliable, steadying presence that, like, you go into today with Imanaga and Assad, you feel really good about what the Cubs can do. Which, like, that was, if you would have said that in beginning of March or middle of February when spring training started, like, your two best pitchers would be Imanaga and Assad, I think people would have looked at you sideways.
No doubt about it. Like, as I look at it right now, Assad 2-0 with a 2.16 ERA, 0.96 WHIP, and we know about Shota Imanaga, zero earned runs. He is 2-0 with that, so he's been amazing.
Yeah, he's been so good, and I remember watching him on a minor league backfield in spring against the San Francisco Giants, and seeing his pitches like right up close, like behind home plate. I'm like, okay, like, I see what the Cubs see in him. He is really, really good. And he didn't really – I don't remember him throwing the splitter once in that game. He hardly threw it in spring, and then he's broken it out in the regular season, and that's just a game-changing pitch. Like, I'm a real believer in that splitter. Like, I think that's been the difference maker, because the four-seam has a lot of carry to it where it's living in the top of the zone. But the splitter is what you get the hitters looking up, right, or you look them in the top of the zone because of the four-seam fastball. And then that slider just dies once it reaches the plate. I mean, I think that's just been a game-changing pitch for him. Craig Counsell today had an interesting anecdote. Like, he seems to be up for the moment, and eventually he's going to give up a run. Like, he's not going to have a 0.00 ERA the whole season. What's it like when he faces some adversity like that? That's going to be an interesting story to follow here as the season progresses.
Amen. Andy, great stuff, man. I appreciate it when you come on and get comfy. Are you going to be there for both games today? You all set? All right.
Yeah. I'll try and find maybe a napping spot in between the two games.
All right, man. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Yep, absolutely. You're like, hey, man, when I was doing the pre and post, it was fun, the doubleheader days, because when, well, like, look, everybody would prefer that they would just play the doubleheaders in a, like, if you were a player or a broadcaster, this, you know, the split doubleheader, it, you know, it's daunting, but in between games, anything can happen. You know what I mean? You get order some wings into the booth, kind of hang out, walk around. I remember Ron Coomer always being very generous. Dave Miska would make a run. It was, you know, there was something charming about sitting around all day, for sure. So that's what Andy Martinez of the Marquee Sports Network will be covering today, the Cubs and the Marlins, which we will have right here on the Score starting at 12:45. Yeah, the Kyle Hendricks thing, it's starting to give me Jake Arrieta vibes just because it's such a similar circumstance in terms of Jake Arrieta's second time around with the Cubs, and you started to see it go bad, and there seemed to be like a bit of denial maybe from the organization and from Arrieta for sure, even after he was waived and said, oh, I'm still going to keep playing and all that. And nobody wanted to be like, oh, man, I am so, so, you poor thing, Jake. You know what I mean? Nobody, because everybody loves Jake Arrieta, if you are a Cubs fan, and you should, for similar reasons that you love Kyle Hendricks. So when it's starting to feel like it's over, then it's very emotional, I think. And I am not saying it's over for Kyle Hendricks. It's not, I don't think it's at the Jake Arrieta point physically in terms of, I'm saying in terms of how people handle Kyle Hendricks right now. Nobody's going to break bad on him. Nobody is going to sit at this point, say, get this bum out of there, at least not yet. It's just not going to happen. And there is a track record of Kyle Hendricks having struggles and then getting himself right and then being excellent and wondering how he ever struggled. Here's the problem with Kyle Hendricks as he gets older and he is struggling. It's always about the velocity. His whole career is about the velocity. It's what made him great that he was able to overcome the velocity. But he doesn't have, like, not having the velocity and the blow away ability hurts him more as he gets older. But I want to be clear, I am not counting out Kyle Hendricks yet. I don't think that that would be a good idea. I would not bet on it. I wouldn't do it. This I know. I have to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to hear a little bit from Caleb Williams. We have barely talked Bears, so we will do that next on The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Texter says, hi, Mark. Are you going to smoke some weed today? Benjamin texting from Elmhurst. Benjamin, no. No, I'm not going to smoke weed on 420. Quite the opposite, actually. Just coincidentally, about an hour before I went on the air, I was communicating with one of my friends with whom I'm going to see a show tonight, going to see a The Cure cover band tonight, The Cure cover band, and she asked me if I would be the designated driver. And so I'm actually the converse, the antithesis, the opposite, oppo of one who will be smoking weed today or tonight. I will be driving and just enjoying music and enjoying a lovely glass of Diet Coke or two or three maybe with a lime in it. So there you go. But it is 420. And yes, it is an upset and ironic that Steve Rosenblum would not be here today on 420 of all days. The WB Club would assemble, and he is disassembled today. And that's what we'll be here. He is actually disassembled. Rosenblum, he fell apart. So he is not in today, but I would assume that he will return next week. So I'm Mark Rohde. I am here with you just for a little while longer. Cubs and Marlins coming up. First game of a doubleheader getting started out at 120 out at Wrigley Field. Game two is tonight. They are staggered, a split doubleheader. Javier Assad and Shota Imanaga, as we were just talking about a little while ago. All right, Caleb Williams, the presumptive Chicago Bears quarterback, was on the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark. And I want to play a couple of cuts of Caleb from you because I have a feeling we're going to need to get used to it. Caleb Williams, this was his reaction to when the Bears traded Justin Fields.
Ryan Poles and the Chicago Bears trade away Justin Fields. On that day, when that happens, what's your first thought?
I was in the car. I was driving to a business meeting, and I'm listening to music, bobbing my head. I probably got on Drake, and I'm chilling. I'm in West Hollywood area driving to a business meeting, and all I see is my phone explodes, whether it's actual just regular fans or whether it's ESPN, whether it's, you know, whatever the case may be. And I pick up my phone, and it's going off, and I'm trying to figure out what just happened, because it went from just nothing and maybe a couple of texts to just like phone just do-do-do-do-do. I end up calling a couple of people, and it's just like, well, we know where their mind and heart is at this instance. Let's prepare, get ready, and handle things, you know, accordingly. And you know, still do our, you know, due diligence on the situation and things like that. But in that moment, it was just like, it was kind of like, wow, because I didn't do my top 30, you know, visit yet. They didn't have my medicals and things like that. So they have it all now, but it's nothing. But it was, you know. And had a good time in my top 30. But yeah, it was interesting right then in that moment, because it was just so unexpected in that instance.
Okay. All right. Unexpected, but it had to be the realization that, hey, Caleb, this is for real, man. You're going to the Bears. This is it. I don't know if you really want, but you're going to the Bears. So that's Caleb Williams on the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark. One more I want to play from him. And this is Caleb Williams with the names Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan coming up.
My dad tried to raise me to be a Redskins fan, is what I knew it as back then.
Right.
Now Washington Commanders. I couldn't get into it. I don't have a team now. My team was Green Bay when Aaron Rodgers was there, because of Aaron Rodgers. I'm a player guy, and Aaron Rodgers is my guy, but I couldn't join the bandwagon. I'm still an Aaron Rodgers fan. He's still my guy, but I couldn't join the bandwagon of becoming a Jets fan. I couldn't do it. So I'm still an Aaron Rodgers fan. If he's playing for somebody, I'm a root for him and things like that. So that's my answer to that.
You know what happens. You make all these off-platform throws, and you do some of the things that you could do with improv, and people compare you. Right now, Patrick Mahomes is the gold standard at the position. The closer we get to the draft, you are hearing that comparison more, the Aaron Rodgers comparison. As someone who grew up a fan of Aaron Rodgers, when you hear things like that, what does that make you feel?
Makes you feel good. So I mimic my game after, you know, it's like the
Kobe MJ.
It's like the Kobe MJ kind of thing where you know, you watch and you mimic and you know, I'm going to go try this while I'm training. I'm going to go try this, a little foot pop. I'm going to try this, you know, throwing my body this way and throwing it back over my head this way, and like he did versus the Vikings in between, you know, two, three guys with a D in his face and things like that. So when I was like his first, second year in the league, third year in the league, so just, you know, trying things like that at a young age, trying things that Patrick Mahomes does, trying things that, you know, Tom Brady does, watching Tom Brady, and you can see in his eyes, like, okay, this is a switch that happened when, you know. So it's like I said, sitting back, watching, learning, taking in, you know, what I can take in and adapt to my game in my best way possible and make it my own. And some of it may look like some of what Pat does, some of what Aaron Rodgers does, because, I mean, they're the best. And, you know, to be the best, you know, you want to learn from the best. To be a leader, you got to first be a follower. And so with that, I watch those guys. I follow those guys, you know, their steps and things like that. So, you know, to get to that point, to get to where they are, winning Super Bowls, being MVPs or you know, throwing these crazy passes and things like that is where I want to be. I want to win Super Bowls. I want to be up there with those guys competing versus them.
I like that he likes to rub elbows with the elite, basically, to sum that up. And then he owns the comps. And of course, hey, if Aaron Rodgers was the guy you looked up to as a football player, that's okay with me. Part of me was like, okay, well, just stop saying it, okay? Yeah, he was great. That's a good guy. Just enough. I think Mitch Trubisky, remember, he said he was a big Brett Favre fan, but somewhere along the line, somebody got into his ear, because I think the first or second time the Bears played the Packers, somebody asked him about that and who's his favorite quarterback, and he just wouldn't say. He wouldn't play the game. He wouldn't play our silly little reindeer games out at Hallis Hall. So, but no, that's okay. I like the way he talks. Caleb Williams on the Pivot Podcast with Ryan Clark. Join the Score and Budweiser on Thursday, May 2nd at Harry Caray's Tavern, Navy Pier, for the 26th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Caray. Parkins and Spiegel will be there, broadcasting live from 4 to 7 p.m. with actor and comedian Jason Alexander leading the toast at 5:30. Chris Kattan's going to be out there, too. You'll also have a chance to register to win tickets to a future Cubs home game. The Worldwide Toast to Harry Caray is brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you. And Cubs baseball is coming up next. Cubs and the Marlins with the start of a doubleheader right here on the Score. Thank yous to Mark Schanowski and Andy Martinez for being on the show today. Thank you to Tyler Farengold doing a terrific job of executively producing the show. Have a great rest of your weekend and enjoy the Cubs on the Score.